Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Life Well Lived podcast with me, Shane Breslin. If you listen to any of the previous episodes, you'll know that the mission of this podcast is to help people help themselves to be their best selves and to live whatever it is that adds up to a life well lived, one of fulfillment and contribution and happiness. I've come to this with a pretty long history of regular bouts of depression. You'll know that about me at this stage, I'm sure. The medical term is major depressive episodes or major depressive disorder. This week's show is episode number 11, and it's going to be a slight departure from all the other weeks. So far, all the episodes have been interviews with really interesting people from lots of different walks of life, giving their own insights from their own unique perspective, whether that's in business or education or religion or nutrition, mental health support, and several other things that I've spoken to people about over the last number of weeks. I will be back with interviews from next week, and I've already recorded some with, for instance, a professional psychologist who specializes in working with corporate businesses on improving workplace communications, which, from my experience, can be one of the main drivers of stress, fulfillment, unhappiness, and eventually depression. And also, I've recorded an interview with a young and really ambitious professional speaker and business owner from the United States, who gives us an insight into the mindset of millennials and that group of people, I guess, who have come of age in an era, where access to super fast internet and all the opportunities and challenges that comes with that, including social media, is completely the norm. So I'm looking forward to bringing you those two interviews and lots of other ones over the next number of weeks. This week, though, for the last podcast of February, and because this is episode number 11, and because 11 is my lucky number, I wanted to do something a little bit different than just do a solo show, just me, and I hope that's okay. The past couple of months, I have to say, have probably been the most challenging for me personally since I started out on this journey of self-exploration and discovery and, recovery, I guess, about 2.5 years ago. So many of the habits that I'd worked hard to build up over the previous couple of years fell mostly by the wayside over the past few months. I know from my happiness quadrant journaling work, and please do send me a message on Twitter at Shane Breslin if you'd like to know more about the happiness quadrant that I developed for my own use over the last couple of years. I know from doing that work that there are a number of activities that are just really non-negotiable for me if my mental health is to remain strong. Those activities include some body movement, so exercise of some shape or form. That might be just a walk in the morning for a few minutes. It might be a half an hour run. It might be some other type of training. I've recently taken up tennis, for instance, but some sort of body movement every day is essential for me. Some of the other things that have been essential for me, that I've identified are essential for me to do, at least on a weekly basis, and certainly I need to be doing them as many days as possible, include writing, so sitting with my typewriter or sitting with my keyboard out. Typewriter, who uses typewriters now? Sitting with my keyboard out and writing on a Word document or a Google Doc, writing whether that's a blog or what might be a book or whatever, but writing in a way to be read. So writing is an essential part of really every day now. Days that I write, I know are better days. Some other things include journaling. So that's writing not to be read, writing with a notebook and a pencil or pen, and just exploring what is going through the mess that is my mind and everybody's mind on a daily basis. So just with a pen and paper. I don't do it scientifically. I tried to do it every day at a certain time and tried to do different topics and to organize my journal sheets in a way that, you know, that I was that I had a format every day. That has sort of not happened, but I still get a huge amount of reward from sitting down with a pencil and paper or pen and paper and just journaling whatever problem or challenge or something is going through my head that needs to come out, and that does help as well. Some of the other things that have helped include yoga. So again, comes back to the body movement. When I talk about yoga, I am as amateur as it gets. I do it for about 10 minutes, and I do it from watching the YouTube videos of yoga with Adrienne, who has been a big help for me over that time as well. So very, very amateur yoga. I know there are lots of people out there who have very developed yoga practices, and fair play to them, well done to them. And maybe in time I'll get there, but for now I'm doing my own little bit of 10-minute yoga watching YouTube. So they're just some of the things that are really non-negotiable for me and really help me to approach every day with in a positive mindset. Once I've done those handful of things, those things have really fallen by the wayside a lot over the past couple of months. For instance, during December and January, I barely got out to run at all. I probably ran 3 or 4 times in those 2 months, when previously I might be running 3 or 4 times every week. And the knock-on effects of that are substantial. Now, I know there's a chicken and egg scenario here where does my mood drop when I don't do the exercise, or do I not do the exercise because my mood has dropped? And I don't fully know the answer to that, but certainly over the last week to 10 days, I've got back into that in a really substantial way. The slightly brightening days and evenings here in Ireland, and the end of winter and beginning of spring, has certainly played a positive part in that time. But yeah, it's for me, there has been mornings over the last week or so where I got up and I was just not in a mindset to go out. I certainly never look forward to going out for a run, but I know that when I can take that action, it has substantial benefits. And this has come from a little bit of the work I've been doing with my cognitive behavioral therapist. So I started in therapy again over the last couple of weeks. I have done psychology and I've done counseling in the past, but I'd never, even though I've done so much research over the last couple of years that showed that there's so much evidence to suggest that cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, is probably the most effective and sustainable long-term treatment in about 80% of cases of depression and anxiety, I'd never done any CBT before now. And one of the things that we've been working on in terms of CBT is the 5-minute rule. So when I was resisting going for a run and just would say, no, I'm going to do that tomorrow, and of course tomorrow never comes, when I was resisting that, the 5-minute rule was like what was, and other things that I've resisted, for instance, some work projects or various things that I might have resisted, said I would do them tomorrow, and tomorrow becomes next Monday, becomes next week, and then it never happens. So one of the things we've been doing in CBT is the 5-minute rule, which is to try whatever it is that I am tempted to put off and postpone, to commit to doing it for 5 minutes. And if after those 5 minutes, I still don't want to do it, that's okay. I can give up then in good conscience that I have at least given it those 5 minutes. But almost invariably what has happened is that those 5 minutes then become 20 or 30 and the project, the task gets done, whether that's a work project or going out for a run, the task gets done because I've taken that action to make a start. As I mentioned, so many of those habits had fallen by the wayside, and I've managed to pull them back with support from people around me and through starting CBT and through the work I'm doing in this project, which helps to ground me and helps me to give a target every week, whether that's my podcast on Tuesdays, whether that's my Saturday morning email, or the daily short blogging that I've committed to over the last while. This project as well has allowed me to have something to aim at, which has kind of got me through that dark spell. A little bit more about the CBT. In our first session, we went through the typical pathway to major depressive episodes and some of the thought processes that result or that cause that. And very often my therapist said to me, the steps to a major depressive episode are, number one, life events, which lead to number two, less fulfilling or more challenging days, which lead to number three, a lower mood or a downward mood spiral, which can lead over a period of time to number four, depression or anxiety. And that sounds maybe a little bit simplistic when I spell it out like that, but it does make a lot of sense to me, and maybe it does to you too. I think it's fair to say that we all have our own life events, and how we respond to them is different for all of us. For some of us, depending on our natural outlook, and I think it's fair to say that lots of us, our natural outlook can be maybe on the pessimistic or negative side. But the road from a challenging life event to more challenging or less fulfilling days is just very, very normal, I think, for a lot of people. And then when we start to think that we don't have any choice in the matter, that's when we maybe continue on that road without giving ourselves credit that we could approach things maybe a little bit differently and take some actions that would improve our days, improve our mood, and improve things for us and for everyone around us. Some of the other things that happened recently, the local newspaper here in County Meath, the Meath Chronicle, carried an interview with me. And when I sat down with the journalist Jimmy Gagan a number of weeks back, I thought that what might result might be a half a page somewhere in the inside of the newspaper. So I was surprised when I started getting texts and calls when the newspaper hit the stands and that midweek a few weeks back. When I picked it up and see that it was a two-page spread under a big title of big interview, I certainly never expected that. But I think the most important thing out of all of this is the reaction that I had to it. I started getting a number of calls and texts and emails since that appeared in the paper, including from some people that I'd never met before because my number was in the article. And in general, what they were mostly saying was the story that I'm telling needs to be told, and they were encouraging me to keep telling it. So that was a huge encouragement to me over the last number of weeks to hear that from people who may be close to me, but also from people who have never met before, encouraging me to keep going and to keep telling this story. And it is important because I know how big a deal suicide is, especially amongst men. The numbers in Ireland of suicides amongst men have fallen a little over the last few years, thankfully. But still, suicide is one of the main causes of death in younger people globally. And I'm no psychologist or psychiatrist, and I'm not going to say or even attempt to say what causes it, because I'm sure there are many, many factors at play. But one thing I do know, and I'm speaking as a man, and so let me aim this squarely at any male listeners. And if you are a female listener, it would be great if you could share this with any man in your life. Number one, it's good to talk. Number two, it's better to talk openly, to be honest and truthful. And that is not weakness. I think sometimes the misconception is that to be honest about the shit that's going on in your head or inside can be construed as weakness. And some people have said to me how brave it is for me to speak about that. And I don't really feel that way. I don't feel brave. I feel like I'm being honest, and I don't think that that's being brave. But anyway, I don't see that if you talk openly and honest, or talk in an honest and open way, I don't see that as weakness. And I think that holding that shit inside you and not talking about it is more dangerous, because eventually that will make you weak. So I think this is a way of safeguarding myself and making myself stronger. And I encourage others to do the same, because I think there's so much power in this when we start talking in an open way. And number three, if you can't talk openly to other people, if you don't feel that you can have that conversation with people around you, that is totally okay for now, because 3 years ago, I could not have done that either. And that was when I called the Samaritans on a day when I was really struggling to go on. I remember it well. I was walking through St. Stephen's Green in Dublin at about 9 o'clock on a lovely autumn's morning. But I was so full of self-loathing at the time for the way my life was going, for I felt like I was on tracks that I couldn't get off. For the job I was going to that day, which I hated every minute of and which was making me unwell. And on that morning, I picked up the phone and I called the Samaritans in Ireland, and I spoke to a volunteer there for about 10 or 15 minutes. And that just helped me. That 10 or 15 minutes where I just got stuff off my chest just helped me to lift a little bit of a cloud that was hanging over me, or a big cloud that was hanging over me at that time, when I felt like I didn't know whether I could go forward or go back. I felt really, really stuck, and I think that's a really dangerous place to be. And I know that lots of people, lots of men especially, who find themselves in that position, often consider the way out as being taking their own life. And I wasn't hugely far away from that. My CBT therapist, to go back to her for a moment, has said some of the thoughts that I've been having over the last while, she calls them passive suicidal thoughts. So I wasn't actively talking about or thinking about suicide or ways I might go about that. But I was having those passive suicidal thoughts in terms of, fuck it, the world would be just so much better without me, that wouldn't it be great if something came, a truck came and ran me down, or some other eventuality happened where I just didn't have to go on? And I confess that those thoughts have been in my head over the last while. Those thoughts have been in my head regularly during major depressive episodes in the past. But thankfully, I've been able to get through it, and thankfully I have never recourse to anything close to active suicidal thoughts. So I have to be thankful and grateful of that, and I have so much to live for. Let me finish this this episode before I do, actually, just to recap on those three points that I'm aiming at, guys, at men out there. Number one, it's good to talk. Number two, it's better to talk openly, to be honest and true. And number three, if you can't talk openly, that's totally okay. Pick up the phone in private and call the Samaritans or some other hotline or helpline where you can talk to somebody and they will listen. Those three things for men. And let me finish this episode and this solo episode, which hopefully you have got something out of, and I've enjoyed putting it together. But let me finish with two stories about conversations that I've had with men over the past 6 months or so. And just to maybe give you some sense of how possible this is, because I probably wouldn't have believed it was possible to have uplifting and enlivening and enlightening honest conversations with men at some point in the very recent past. I would say I probably wouldn't have seen it was possible to do that or to have that. So let me just tell you these quick two stories about conversations that I've had with fellas over the last while. Number one, before Christmas, I had committed to going to more networking events in a bid to, you know, meet more people in a business context that I could possibly do business with in time. So I attended a business lunch event in Dublin a week or two before Christmas 2018. And if you've ever been to something like that, you'll know the type of thing, where the coffee is too strong and there's platters of fruit skewers and mini croissants doing the rounds. I'm sure all of us have been at things like that, which can feel very false and not honest at all. But anyway, I fell into a conversation with a guy there. We were standing next to each other with cups of coffee in our hand. We hit it off a bit, just a bit of a chat, and I was there alone, wasn't with anyone else. He was there, he was up for an award, or his company was up for an award, so there was a couple of the guys from his company were at a table, and he invited me to sit with him or sit with his colleagues at a round table for that lunch. And for whatever reason, over the next couple of hours, we just started talking about physical and mental well-being, and we had the most incredible conversation over the next few hours or so, where he spoke about his long troubles and long struggles with gambling and how it had cost him almost everything, and how he hasn't had a bet in 10 years, and now he's written a book and he's going and speaking to people about the dangers of gambling and trying to enlighten or educate the next generation on the dangers that are apparent in that course of action. And I was able to tell him about my background with dealing with depression. And we were there in our business capacity, me as a small business owner and him as a sales director of a pretty ambitious and growing company. But we made a real human connection about the stuff, talking about the stuff behind it all and all the stuff that really matters. So I was very, very appreciative of that. So that's the first story about conversations with men in a context or a setting that I might not have believed was possible in the past. The second one, second story, last summer, a lady I know who's a great connector, she often connects people who she feels can add something to each other. But she sent me and another man who I'd never met a private message on LinkedIn, and she just said, "Shane, meet Enda. Enda, meet Shane. I think you two should talk." She didn't say why we should, but Enda and myself were showing good manners, so we arranged a chat for a video call at some point over the next few days. And for about the first 15 minutes of that call, as we introduced ourselves and we told each other a bit about work and business, things were all very normal and all as you might predict. And just as the call seemed to be coming to a natural conclusion, where we had both given our business offering or talked about our business, I mentioned very much in passing, because I was still a little bit reluctant, and I still am a little bit reluctant talking to men face to face about the stuff that goes on in my head, I guess. just as the call seemed to be coming to an end, I just mentioned that I also write and speak a little bit about positive mental health and depression, because I've experienced that quite a bit over the last 20 years or so. And what happened next was just a little bit weird, because the barriers came down on both our sides. For 15 minutes, both of us had been just doing the normal bullshit, saying what people expect us to say and playing our parts in a, you know, kind of charade that goes on in life, with both of us maybe doing our best to protect ourselves from the other, from maybe judgment or from the other person thinking badly of us. So that was the first 15 minutes. After I mentioned that I wrote and spoke a little bit about depression, we just had the most incredible conversation for about 45 minutes or so. Enda was able to tell me about his own challenges in life, which for years had caused him to turn to alcohol as a way of coping, and how he was now in recovery and regularly practiced yoga and a form of Hawaiian meditation, which I had never heard of before, called Ho'oponopono, which is all about reconnection and forgiveness. And those 45 minutes made me feel so alive, and I think they made Enda feel very alive and enlivened as well, because we were talking about real stuff in a safe space without any judgment or the bullshit that typically goes on. I think it takes a while for us men to get there, but the rewards are really, really incredible when we do. So I'll just finish by saying, let's talk. Let's talk honestly and openly. And if you feel that you can't do that right now, but you feel the need to, do pick up the phone to Samaritans. There's somebody there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to listen, to help you through it, to just chat about what it is that you're going through. And I think if you experience what I experienced after a few times talking to Samaritans, you might feel more confident to talk to the people close to you, the people around you, and to talk honestly and openly with them. And the final thing of this solo episode, which I hope you've enjoyed, and the final thing I'll say this is that honest conversation is a two-way street. It is really, really no good for you to be honest and open about everything that's going on in your life if whoever you're talking to is not reciprocating. So don't be afraid to talk honestly and openly, but do make sure not to spill your heart out to someone who has their own heart closed, because I don't think a whole pile of good can come from that. The good news, I think, is that more and more of us are ready for just that. We're ready to open our hearts, we're ready to talk, and we're ready to listen about the things that really matter in life. And when we talk about those, when we get to grips with those, when we can open up about that, I think that is the pathway, or that is the gateway to a life well lived. Thank you so much for listening to this solo episode of the Life Well Lived podcast. As I said, it's number 11. 11 is my lucky number, so I wanted to do something slightly different this week. To subscribe to the podcast, if you want to get this and get all the interviews that are coming over the next number of weeks into your mobile device or your podcast player automatically, just search for the Life Well Lived podcast and hit subscribe wherever you get podcasts. That can be in Apple. I know it's in Apple, it's in Spotify, it's in lots of other podcast services. It should be in all of them. If you find that when you search you can't find it, do hit me a message on email or on my website or on Twitter at Shane Breslin. And I look into that for you. I'll be back here next week for episode number 12, which I expect will return to the normal interview rhythm. I'm looking forward to bringing you that and more episodes in the coming weeks. And for now, I'm signing off here from this episode of the Life Well Lived podcast with me, Shane Breslin. Thank you so, so much for listening. And I'll see you again here soon. Bye-bye.